This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Newell taking some time off. I'm Dave Cohen. Glad to be with you here on this day before Friday. I like to call it Friday Eve. And if it's Thursday, it means that Raphael Goyeneche joins us on the Newell Norman Show. He is the president and CEO of the Metro Crime Commission. Raphael, how you doing?
I'm fine, Dave. How are you?
Loving this weather. My goodness.
And looking
forward to next week when it'll be even cooler. And that means some people will start complaining it's too cold. So
that won't be me.
No, yeah, nor me. I'm happy to deal with 50s in the morning and 70s in the afternoons. Crime continues to go down in the city of New Orleans in your latest report.
Right. So we normally issue these reports on a weekly basis, on a citywide basis. So we don't really distinguish where crime is being committed in the city. But twice a year, we do a district-by-district comparison, where we break down the four major categories of violent crime: homicides, shootings, carjackings, and armed robberies, and we compare it to each district. And we are aggregating all those four major categories and looking back over 6 years. So if the public wants to see what's happening citywide, if they want to see a district-by-district breakdown or any of the other reports that we issue on the progress and effectiveness and efficiency of the criminal justice system, they can go to our website and register to receive these email blasts for free from us. So it's metrocrime.org if you're interested in taking a deeper look at this. But what we're doing today, what we're breaking on your show, is our district-by-district analysis of violent crime trends for the first three quarters of this year.
And I think that's necessary that you do that, because it's one thing to say, as a whole, the city is doing better. As a whole, murder, shootings, armed robberies, carjackings, the list goes on, are all down citywide. But does that mean that every neighborhood is enjoying that crime reduction? That does that mean that every police district is seeing that kind of progress? And by you taking a deeper dive into that, I think that's an important question to determine where crime is or is not on the decline in the city.
Well, absolutely. And quite frankly, the police department does this type of analysis too. So there are 8 police districts in the city. And the district commanders are responsible for using their resources to address the crime that they perceive is most impacting the safety of the residents of their police district. So the police department, on a weekly basis, has the district commanders come in and report what is happening in their district. And they are attempting on a week-by-week basis, day-by-day basis, to identify what problems they're having and to rectify those problems. Usually, that's going to be either by arrest or deterrence. An arrest is a deterrent, but also police presence will also deter crime. So the way the police department has brought down crime citywide is by allowing their district commanders to deploy their resources to effectively reduce crime in their districts. And if they're reducing crime in their districts, that'll be reflected in the citywide statistics.
And I guess we saw a really good example of that just this morning, when the police chief told us that the reason that they were able to track down, stop, shoot, and wound an alleged burglar this morning was because in that Uptown district at State and Britannia, the district commander had identified five previous cases of home burglaries in the last 2 weeks where people were breaking into homes in that area and stealing guns. So was able to saturate that neighborhood this morning with police in anticipation of the next one. And guess what? The next one happened. They tracked the suspect down. They shot that suspect. And now that suspect will be facing charges. And by the way, they recovered four guns from the burglary this morning.
Right. You know, you're exactly right. And I'd be stunned if that suspect that was apprehended after burglarizing that residence, and I'm told that that residence was occupied. So if there was anyone in the house when he broke into the house, and he armed himself with a weapon in the house, or if he brought a weapon into the house during that robbery, either scenario, that's either going to be a home invasion or an aggravated burglary, which are serious offenses. So the offender that's breaking into a home like that to steal guns are not stealing those guns to add to his gun collection. He's stealing those guns so that he can sell them or use them in other criminal enterprises.
Yeah, and we know so there was definitely at least one person in that house because that person ran to the neighbors and called 911 while the burglar was in their home.
So that changes that from a property crime to a crime of violence that the police were responding to in that particular instance.
So there's just one example of what you were just talking about in terms of empowering the district commanders to identify problems, create solutions, and then solve those problems.
Exactly. So let's just go through, you know, some of this real quickly. You know, homicides. Year-to-date this year, there have been 108 homicides. Homicides, by our definition, are going to be first-degree, second-degree murder, manslaughter, and vehicular homicides. So those would be the categories. 108 year-to-date this year. And last year, for the entire year, there were 218. So I don't want to jinx us, but we're on a pace to have a substantially fewer number of homicides in 2024 than we had in 2023. And the district-by-district comparison reveals the reason for the dramatic turnaround. So in the first district, which has historically been, you know, one of the three or four districts with the highest homicide rate, there were 25 homicides in the first district in 2023. There were only four year to date in 2024.
Wow, that's significant.
That's significant. And the crime reduction citywide have been significant. But when you look at it by district basis, it becomes clear how the police department is achieving this. They're, you know, empowering their district commanders to utilize their resources to drive down crime. Now, the districts that have historically experienced the highest homicide rate are going to be the 7th and the 5th districts.
Our listeners, because many may not know where the districts are, the 1st district includes Treme, the Tulane Gravier, Mid-City area, Bayou St. John. So that's the 1st district that you were addressing. And now, as we widen out, you wanted to talk, I'm sorry, you said about the 7th and the which?
The 7th and the 5th.
All right. And so the 7th district is largely New Orleans East, and the 5th district encompasses most of the Florida area, St. Claude, Lower Ninth Ward, Bywater, Desire, and St. Rock.
Exactly.
So what's going on in those
districts? Two districts historically have had the highest homicide rate, and they still do have the highest homicide rate in the city. But in 2023, during the first three quarters of 2023, the 7th district had 54 homicides. And there have only been 26 homicides in 2024 in the 7th. The 7th district just had a 55-day streak without a homicide committed, and it broken this week. And even though the 2nd district and the 8th District saw homicides increase. The second District homicides went from 2023 went from 8 to 11 in 2024, and the 8th District went from 5 to 11, 23 versus 24.
So in New Orleans East, they went nearly 2 months without seeing a murder and had over 50% reduction in homicides.
Absolutely. So that's a remarkable accomplishment. How were they doing that? So they weren't able to put cops on every corner and prevent that. They had to be more strategic than that. They don't have the manpower to do that. So what the NOPD has been doing, with the assistance of the Louisiana State Police, the Troop NOLA contingent that's here now in the 7th District, they've been leading into proactive policing strategies, and that includes in the 7th District, narcotics enforcement and traffic enforcement. So traffic enforcement doesn't mean that both the NOPD and the LSP are trying to, you know, litter every driver with as many tickets as they can to generate revenue. They're using traffic enforcement as the predication to pull over cars. And they're doing this not district-wide, but in some of the high crime spots in the district. They're looking for specific types of vehicles. Vehicles that are late model cars that drive fast, so they're more with robust horsepower, with tinted windows. And as they pull those vehicles over, if they find that the driver may have an expired license or a broken taillight, they let them go with a warning. They don't even bother giving them a citation. But for the ones that they pull over, that's the predication to pull them over, and they can determine at that stop if the offender maybe has a warrant for their arrest. Maybe they observe firearms and or narcotics in the car. And I saw some stats from about 2 weeks ago. One evening, the Louisiana State Police, Troop NOLA, made 41 traffic stops, and they only issued 9 citations. And all 9 of those citations were given to the 6 individuals that were arrested. And those individuals that were arrested, every one of them had either a gun in their possession, narcotics in their possession, warrants for their arrest in their possession. They took 6 guns off the street from those 6 arrests.
Illegal guns.
Stolen car. So that's how the 7th District is driving down their crime rate. And they're doing it in conjunction with the Louisiana State Police and using their resources strategically. And we're seeing that, you know, effectively deploying limited resources, driving down crime neighborhood by neighborhood, district by district, and those numbers are being reflected citywide.
We're talking with Rafael Goyeneche as he breaks down police district by police district their twice a year analysis of how crime reduction is going in the city of New Orleans. Well, I guess not always crime reduction, but this year it is crime reduction in the city of New Orleans. When we come back, we'll let him expand on some of the other districts and the success that they are having in bringing down crime and how they are able to do that. And we'll find out if your neighborhood, if you live in the city of New Orleans, is seeing equally as impressive crime reduction. You can see all the data for yourself on the Metro Crime Commission's website and sign up for their newsletter. We'll let Rafael Goyeneche tell you how to do that again when he gets back as well. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Newell Norman. We welcome your thoughts, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We hear most Thursdays on this program about the impressive job that the New Orleans Police Department and their partners, state police and others, have done in reducing crime in the city of New Orleans. As the Metro Crime Commission breaks down the latest crime statistics, this week is something they only do twice a year, and they're releasing the information on the Newell Norman Show. Rafael Goyeneche, the president of the Metro Crime Commission, is breaking it down police district by police district to see, is the crime reduction evenly spread across the city of New Orleans? He shared some very impressive numbers with us from the 7th District in New Orleans East before our break. Rafael, where are we going next?
Well, we're going to the shootings. So shootings are the other side of the coin from the homicides. So every homicide is a unsuccessful attempt to kill somebody that's reflected in the shooting statistics. So the non-fatal shootings are basically a reflection on the poor aim of the shooter, because the person that's doing the shooting usually wants to kill somebody, particularly, you know, when it's being done in the perpetration of a crime.
Yeah, I can't imagine many criminals shoot to wound or shoot to hurt or shoot to send a message. They're out for murder.
Exactly. So, you know, again, we talked about in the last segment how the first district went from 25 homicides in 2023 for the first three quarters of the year down to 4. Well, with respect to shootings, the first district is leading the pack in that category as well. In 2023, there were 35 non-fatal shootings. In 2024, year-to-date, there had been 10. So when you add that together, you had 10 non-fatal shootings and then 4 fatal shootings in the first district. And the first district was usually in the top 3 or 4 districts as having the most homicides and the most non-fatal shootings. And now they have the fewest homicides citywide, and they have the fewest non-fatal shootings in the city of all 8 districts. That's a 71% decline in non-fatal shootings in the first district.
How did they do that? You talked about how the 7th district was able to greatly decrease their violent crime rate, but how did they do that in the first district when you have historically violent areas like the 7th Ward, like the Iberville, like Mid-City, where you said before they typically led the city in violent crime? How did they go to now leading the city in the lowest, and not just in reduction, because someone could argue, well, they had the most. Clearly, they had the best reduction because they had the most. This isn't just in reduction. They're leading the city now in the least number of violent crimes.
So the way that the first district, as well as the entire police department, their approach to driving down the crime is they need to arrest the perpetrators. And criminals are generalist. And if the police department is just waiting for someone to dial 911 because of the staffing deficiencies, the police department cannot respond to calls for service as quickly as they would like, as well as what the public would expect, because they just don't have the officers. So the police department is concentrating in some very strategic areas. When a crime is committed, they're attempting to solve it, not just with a warrant, but with an arrest. So the police department considers a crime solved once they identify who the perpetrator is. And that doesn't mean that the perpetrator's been arrested, that they may have a warrant, but they haven't located the perpetrator. So what's happened? So go back to June, and you remember that there was a 20-agency task force that was operating for the month of June in the city of New Orleans. And during the month of June, those 20 different agencies, federal, state, and local, were responsible for arresting 154 felony offenders. The vast majority of those individuals were people that the police department had issued a warrant for, but had not been arrested yet. So what the police department is doing is similar to what happened in June. They're identifying the people that they know have committed crimes, and they may be wanted for an automobile burglary or a residence burglary or a crime of violence. So those offenders, if they're not arrested, are going to go out and continue to commit violent offenses, property offenses, be involved in narcotics, And so what the police department has done successfully is using their resources to identify, deter, and arrest the people that are committing the serious crime. And when you arrest someone that is a career criminal, they make their livelihood committing crimes. You may arrest them for a particular offense, but if they remain in custody, they are not going to be able to commit additional crimes in the community. So the people that are stealing cars and breaking into homes that are looking for guns, they're using those guns to commit other crimes. The cars that they're stealing are being used for transportation to commit other crimes. So when you arrest some of those offenders, you're seeing not just it's not a one-for-one basis. Not every crime has a separate individual that's responsible for that crime. You have a small percentage of the criminal community that are responsible for a disproportionate amount of all the crime in the community. And the reason that crime is going down is because the NOPD and their partners have done a better job in identifying and arresting the people that are committing the lion's share of these crimes. And what we're seeing is, as they're arrested, we're seeing the jail population go up. So
that was the next question. Are they staying behind bars? Because historically that has been a problem with either overcrowding or low bonds or whatever else, leading liberal judges, leading to many of these arrestees getting out of jail. Are they now staying behind bars?
They are. So the beginning of the year, we had about 1,200 or so inmates in pretrial custody. As we speak today, there's about 1,550. Two-thirds of that 1,550 are in there for felony crimes of violence or weapons offenses. You have 232 people in pretrial custody waiting to be tried on homicide charges. You know, you have, 150 or so people waiting to be tried on robbery charges. So what we're seeing is the police department, with their partners, have done an effective job in arresting those individuals. And because of the quality of the work that's done, you're seeing bail set at higher levels. And the offenders that remain in pretrial custody are the reason that I believe crime is significantly down in this community, because the department has identified who the violent and repeat offenders are. They've built good cases against them. You're seeing the district attorney's office accept cases at a higher rate. You're seeing bail set at a higher rate for these offenders that are arrested for these serious offenses. And in large part, at the magistrate hearings, when the state police make an arrest, they're sending experienced assistant attorney generals into court advocating for bail. Most of the people advocating for bail in the district attorney's office are new hires. That's usually where you cut your teeth as an assistant district attorney.
Yeah, you're almost punished. You're low on the totem pole. You have to go handle bail hearings. But now you're saying that's not the case, at least on the state arrests.
Exactly. So what you're seeing now is when the state police make an arrest and the attorney general sent experienced prosecutors in there, they're advocating successfully getting higher bail, and that establishes sort of the new norm for bail in criminal district court, even for the cases that are being, presented and argued by the New Orleans District Attorney's Office.
The tide is rising. And all the boats are coming up with it.
Exactly.
So is this to say that, and if I had a dollar for every time I've heard someone say to me, you can't arrest your way out of crime, I wouldn't need to be working. I'd have so much money. But is this to say that maybe, at least in the short term, the NOPD, along with their partners in state police, are arresting their way out of crime?
Yeah, I don't agree, with that statement that you can't arrest your way out of crime. So we talked about 1,550 people being in pretrial custody. Does anybody really believe that this community would be safer if those 1,550 people were back out on the streets right now, when I told you that two-thirds of them were in custody for a felony crime of violence or a felony weapons offense? and the other one-third, if they're in there for property or drugs, they may have crimes of violence in their backgrounds. So you can't just look at the offense. You have to look at the offender. That's what a judge sets bail on, because they're attempting to determine the danger that each offender poses to the community when they set bail. And it's easy to do it if you just look at the crimes of violence, but when you have a property or a drug offender arrested, and in their background they have felony crimes of violence convictions, under the law, a judge is supposed to take that into consideration. They are, and you're seeing, you know, the Attorney General's office, the state police, and now the New Orleans Police Department and the New Orleans District Attorney's Office arguing those points, and judges are setting, and commissioners are setting higher bail, and that's reflected in the increasing inmate population in Orleans Parish.
And hopefully long-term can prevent what we have seen historically of the pendulum just swinging back and forth, where we see great reductions in crime, but then it feels like that kind of runs its course, and then it all comes back, and we're doing it all over again, fighting rising crime into a point where people start hollering and screaming, and then we see active efforts to resume the crime reduction.
All right. So as crime goes down, you know, the quality of life for all citizens improves. And if the quality of life improves, then New Orleans and the New Orleans region becomes a more attractive place. So people come here, they spend money, businesses grow and prosper. It means they need to hire more people to work, which means that there's more income for individuals, and people generally make more money, which, you know, will also reduce crime. The more effective the school systems are in educating our children, the less crime that we're going to experience, you know, going forward. So if children are being properly educated, where they have the opportunity to use that education to obtain good, well-paying jobs, it's all tied together. That's why, you know, the UNO survey that was released earlier this week, you know, measures in large part the approval rating and the public's perception of the quality of life in their respective parishes directly tied to the crime rate in those parishes. So what we're talking about right now is that, yes, the police department and their law enforcement partners are doing a better job of identifying and arresting the most serious and problematic offenders in the metropolitan New Orleans area. And as crime goes down, quality of life improves, and it becomes safer. And you're seeing New Orleans being able to attract more people into the city, which generates more revenue, tax dollars-wise, for the city and for the state. And it, you know, as you pointed out, you know, the rising tide raises all the boats. And as crime reduces, the tide rises, and things improve for people generally.
We're talking with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metro Crime Commission, as they've been taking a deeper dive into the crime statistics than they do just with their weekly updates, really taking a closer look at what's working, where it's working, and how things are growing citywide. Carjacking has been a huge concern over the last several years, with brazen high-profile carjackings making big news. When we come back, I'll ask Rafael how the numbers are looking on carjackings in the city of New Orleans. And also, none of this can happen without enough cops. We know that the police department has been understaffed. How are things going to build the ranks of the NOPD? Rafael Goyeneche addresses those issues after this. If you want to see more of the information we're talking about with Rafael Goyeneche of the Metro Crime Commission, just go to metrocrime.org. And as soon as you get on the website, it'll have a pop-up asking you to join the mailing list. And they'll send you the weekly crime stats, as well as these in-depth dives they do deeper into crime twice a year, and help you understand what's going on with crime in the city of New Orleans. Rafi, a lot of people want to know what's going on with carjackings, because that was one of the things I think that really made such intense headlines, that so many people were being held at gunpoint and having their cars robbed day, night, daylight, what are considered safe neighborhoods as well as other neighborhoods. The carjackings really were part of the huge screaming cry for crime reduction in the city of New Orleans. That's one of the things you've looked at. What are you seeing when it comes to carjackings?
So carjackings went up during COVID. So they went up. The primary crime was armed robberies or robberies, not carjackings. But during COVID, because a lot of the foot traffic was reduced because the bars and the restaurants were closed and limited, people weren't out walking around, the offenders that were making a livelihood, committing robberies on pedestrians, switched to cars. And the high water mark for carjackings was 2022, as we were coming out of COVID. And during the first three quarters of 2022, there were 223 carjackings perpetrated in the first three quarters of the year. In 2024, the first three quarters, there were 70 carjackings perpetrated. A remarkable decline. And the third district had the largest decline citywide of all the districts. They reduced carjackings by 79% this year versus last year, followed by the 6th district with a 55% reduction and the 4th district with a 50% reduction. Even the districts that had an increase, like the 2nd, the numbers went from 23 with 5 in the first three quarters to 9 in 2024. So even the district that had a slight increase the numbers that went up, it just went from 5 to 9. So the real reason that carjackings are down are twofold, as I said. You know, the police department has done a good job of arresting those individuals that were responsible for that. And as they arrest them for that, as the offenders that were committing carjacking switch back to armed robberies, if they were arrested for a carjacking, they're not around to commit the armed robberies. And we're seeing, the armed robberies being reduced substantially as well. So, again, this is a dramatic turnaround. And it's because the police aren't just relying on trying to get to calls for service. If someone is reporting a carjacking, it means that the offenders have usually already gotten away, and now they're trying to figure out who they are and arrest them. And when they do arrest them for this, cameras are responsible for solving more of these robbery and carjacking cases. And as those cameras, the evidence, the video evidence, is something that results in the district attorney's office accepting those charges. And that type of evidence is the type of evidence that juries want to see. So that video footage can be shared with the judge when they're setting bail. They're shared with juries, and they're shared with the defendant. So if a defendant wants to take their chances going to trial and they realize that they have substantial evidence that includes video, the offenders are more likely to plead guilty than go to trial. And if they do go to trial, that's exactly the caliber of evidence that jurors want to see when they're trying to determine if there is proof beyond a reasonable doubt to convict somebody. So all of this, carjackings, armed robberies, non-fatal shootings, and fatal shootings, all of those areas are all of those categories of crime are down, and they're down, citywide. But if you really want to do a deeper dive and see how crime is being reduced, in neighborhoods, you got to look at our district by district analysis, and that's available starting today on our website, because we just broke it on your show today.
And we appreciate your sharing that information with us. There's so much more we could talk about, and I know so much more we prepared to talk about, but never enough time. So I know next week we'll be able to get into some other things. I want to leave with this, and we only have a couple of minutes left. Every time we talk about the dramatic and impressive crime reduction, there are those who will say, no, they're cooking the books. No, they're fudging the numbers. No, they're underreporting crime. However you want to state it, there are skeptics. Your organization has tried to go the extra mile to ensure that these numbers are really what is happening out there.
Right. So what will we do to compile this? You know, we're not just relying on what the police department is telling us. We're getting the calls for service data from the 911 communications district. So we look at all of the calls for service that are, you know, registered on a daily basis. We track those calls for services with the arrests that are made. Everyone that is arrested, they're booked into the jail. We get the information from the sheriff's office as to every individual that is arrested. We track every felony arrest through the system. So once the arrest is made, we now know how to follow that case as it goes to the district attorney's office. We can determine what the acceptance and refusal rates are. We can track those cases through the magistrate system to determine what bail is being set on those offenders. The sheriff is now making available to us the inmate population that allows us not just to report the numbers of people in the jail, but what they're being held for as well. So that's how I can tell you that two-thirds of the 1,550 inmates that are in there for felony crimes of violence, and we can tell you what the offense that they're in jail for and all of this. So we track all of this information ourselves using a variety of different platforms in the city to compile the numbers that we release on a weekly basis.
So if they were hiding things, you would know this 911 call came in, and you follow that to see, okay, how did that call end, to see if they're downgrading the crimes or shoving them under the rug or whatever the case. So, Raphael, I don't know, you get thanked enough for all the hard work you and everyone in your organization does and those people who support your organization, because for many, many years it felt like you may have been a lone wolf howling at the moon and no one was listening. But now it feels like there is such a community effort to address these issues and to make sure that this reduction in crime trend continues. Thank you so much for that. And I know we look forward to you joining Newell next week and continuing the conversation.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Raphael Guarnacci, president of the Metro Crime Commission. We're back after this with some of my thoughts, and we'll see what Scoot's got coming up. Bravo. I mean, how can you not be impressed by the crime reduction and by the teamwork that has been demonstrated to try and make sure that this is real, legitimate crime reduction that lasts, and that hopefully after literally centuries of out-of-control crime, that maybe, just maybe, this time they're getting it right, and maybe, just maybe, it will last. Let's hope so, and let's make sure that just because we get to a point where crime is low for a period of time, we don't take our foot off the pedal, we don't take our pressure off of the officials, and we make sure that it stays that way. You know, when, and Raphael Guarnacci mentioned it briefly, when the quality of life survey came out this week from UNO, and it showed that in New Orleans, still the number one concern amongst people when they say what is the biggest problem is crime. And in Jefferson, when they asked people what's the number one concern, you know what number one was? Other, followed by I don't know. 29% of people said it was something minor or they didn't know what it was. That's a community you want to live in where there's little crime. Let's keep it that way. Scoot's up for the next 3 hours. Hey, Scoot, how you doing?
I am excellent. We're going to talk about the mosquito infestation. Now,
oh,
I live at Lakeview West End, and I haven't seen a lot of mosquitoes out here, but I know in some areas they're really, really bad. My question is, what purpose does the mosquito serve?
None.
It bites us. It sucks our blood. Why did God make mosquitoes? We're going to try and answer that question.
They feed bats, Bill.
Well, we talked about it yesterday, and I'm really excited that the Saints are going to start Rattler at quarterback, so we'll talk about that too.
Yeah, he may be running for his life, but at least he can run, right?
That's true.
Thank you, Scoot. Have a great show. I'm Dave Cohen. Be back at 5 a.m.